in the OA How program, and it's precious to me because there's a section here that says we share for the, we come in and we can stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time. I have found that again and again and again, I can stand in front of my fellows, my sponsor, and in front of my higher power and just trust that I can come as I am and I can share those things that are in my heart and in my head on a regular basis. And that's really what keeps me healthy, getting that out. So that just seems to work. And believe me that whoever's at this meeting, what I'm hearing here, when I leave here, it will stay here. So if you are a newcomer and you're listening, just know that there is a sacred part in the program where you can feel free to grow and trust and keep coming back, and you'll see that for yourself. And I'll pass on now the tool of anonymity.
Thank you, Deborah. Telephone calls.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sue L., and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sue.
Hello. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and is part of the surrender process as a tool by which we can learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others, and how we are asked to make at least four telephone calls a day, one to our sponsor and three more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And oh my gosh, isn't that the truth right now? I mean, thank God we have the phone right now. Thank God we can stay connected. And, you know, just a reminder, we can use these technologies to see each other. We can use Duo. We can use Messenger, we can use WhatsApp to actually see each other too, I think is a really good way to do a hookup right now so that we're kind of right with each other, since face-to-face isn't possible. And even, you know, even for those that do phone meetings, just to be able to see each other, I think is really important right now. So there's a quote, this is alcohol, like, Anonymous number three, another Bill D. The thought flushed through his mind. If he can do it, I can do it. Over and over, he said this to himself. Finally, out of his hope, there burst conviction. Now he was sure. There came a great joy. At length, peace stole over him, and he slept. And, you know, I mean, it's just hard to, I'm just going to talk about one thing that's coming up for me, or that did come up for me, and it felt very secret, and it was my fear, I mean, wanting to hoard, because I'm a compulsive overeater, and I need, you know, 8 cases of soup, you know, I mean, I just knew in my head, just like, you know, I don't have any clue about my weight issues and all of that, and I don't know when is too much and what's not enough, and I was really struggling with hoarding, and I finally just kind of came out clean, because that question number three on the inventory, is there something that needs to be discussed with another person at once, saves me every day. And so I started talking to people about it. You know, it's like, I don't want to be one of those people that's adding to the hysteria, yet I want to have what we need. And I talked to everyone so that I could get balance on that, because my head's broken when it comes to that stuff. And so, you know, we're doing it together. We are just all here doing it together. And, you know, as things come up, I mean, I think we just do what we know. We already have here. We are not in the fire drill anymore, right? We are in the fire, and we have a system that's all set up for us. you know, talking to each other every day on the phone is going to be paramount. And we already have that in place. And so we have a lot in place already. So we're ahead of the game, and I'm just so grateful for you all. Thanks.
Thanks, Sue. Meetings.
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia.
Hi, Megan. And,
hey, this is meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope that OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. There are many kinds of meetings. Fellowship is a basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. And I'm so grateful that we have these visual, the hybrid meeting, and that we have the telephone meetings. I've been a phone meeting HOW person for a very long time. I've only ever worked this program via the phone, so that's about a little over 11 years. But I do have a face-to-face big book study meeting that I've started attending recently and have been really finding that helpful. And of course, Saturday morning, I texted someone and said, hey, is the meeting on? And nope, they were closed. And since then, I've talked to several other people, and my general feeling is the meetings are pretty much shut down. And so what a miracle that we can all be here tonight with a whole bunch of people, you know, almost 60 people in this virtual meeting, and still hear recovery, still hear both our common problem and the solution that we share. And, you know, my goal, the past couple of days has been really to be calm and to not add anything to the feeling of near hysteria that seems to be going on around me, to just remain calm and to add some positivity and, grace to the moment as much as I can. And for me, that means I need to stay in today and I need to stay where I am. And I'm just so grateful that where I am right now is in a fellowship and with fellows and the we of the program, because that's where I need to be. I'm not sure if that was my 1 minute. Margo will tell me to stop when it's time to stop. But I was reading this in the big book, and it's on page 160. And this is, thank you, Margo. I see that. This is something that I think we can all feel. Many a man, yet dazed from his hospital experience, has stepped over the threshold of that home and into freedom. Many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. He succumbed to that gay crowd inside, who laughed at their own misfortunes and understood his. Impressed by those who visited him at the hospital, he capitulated entirely when later in the upper room of this house, he heard the story of some man whose experience closely tallied with his own. And that's what we get here. And I'm so grateful that you all are with me and working it. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Megan. Literature and writing.
Hi, Kelly, compulsive overeater in California. Literature. We studied the text Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses upon us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and a very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing our inventories and the people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our reactions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us simply by thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our differences down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any action. So literature and writing to me is very important in my program. I loved people who've shared before me to talk about the tools and their importance, especially just kind of given the uncertainty of the world. This program gives us structure and it tells us what to do. So every morning I do my reading and writing to my sponsor. And they say we grow up in this program, and I feel like I have, in that I feel responsible, hashtag adulting, that I have done my assignment for the day. I typically do it the night before, but I've known to burn the candle by both ends and bring back my college days and do it 5 minutes before, which is not recommended for someone like me. So I feel proud when I've done it the night before. And I share with my sponsor my reading and writing, and she's listening to me. And our literature says that we listen to what our sponsees say and don't say. So the other day she heard some fears coming up for me, and she suggested I do a fear inventory. And this is a yes ma'am program. My sponsor tells me what to do, I do it. So went to page 84 in the big book, and if you just Google fears inventory, there's thousands of them out there. But I like to go straight to the source, big book, and it just says, continue to watch for selfishness, just dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, so not if, when, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And I was so grateful that she gave me that writing assignment. I was able to list my fears in black and white. Look who I was, where was my reliance on infinite God or finite self. And then thank you, Margot. And then it said, how's that working for you? It's not. And then the fear prayer, just asking God to remove them, and no harm was made, but I got to turn myself to be of service. And in this program, we're able to be of service all the time through our hookup calls, through sponsoring, through being a sponsee, by washing our hands, by committing our food, by smiling at a neighbor. There's just so many ways that we can give service of this program. And the literature and writing just it's just such an invaluable tool for me to remember that I have a spiritual program. I have a spiritual toolkit laid at my feet, and you guys help me know how to, what to use and when to use it. So right now I'm reading a book outside of our typical literature, which is just fascinating. In your hookups, ask people what they're reading and writing on. I learned about this book from someone in program. So I just love that after we work the steps, we are open. At time, we're open to read whatever we work out with our sponsor. So grateful for that. Doing it with you guys. Pass.
Thanks, Kelly. Service.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Debbie.
Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, For this, I am responsible. You know, looking like right now, there are 35 people on this, or 55 people on this meeting. Earlier, there were over 60. And to me, the fact that we have this meeting to come to is a huge service, especially right now. And I think the phone meetings, when I first came into program back in 2009, those weren't as readily available, and something like a virtual meeting wasn't even heard of back then. So I think doing service means more than just in the meetings. Absolutely, having the meetings, having them in different formats is a huge service to all of us. But I think right now, being of service outside of the meetings, doing the phone calls, making sure we're not isolating, checking in with our fellows to see how they're holding up under these circumstances, I think it's going to be really important to us. I know it's really important to me. When I get a phone call, I'm very grateful. I haven't left my house since last Thursday, so I'm starting to go a little stir crazy. So anything that anybody does for me, I consider a service. And being of service, the ability to be of service to others, I think is just really an honor to be able to call people and talk to them and say, hey, how's it going? How are you holding up right now? What is it you're working on? What do you need? Sometimes that's all it takes, asking people what they need. And being of service and being willing is really critical. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks for all being here tonight.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm back, and I've got some bad news for you. It was bad news for us, and it'll be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you'll end up just like you've been in the past. You are a compulsive overeater. That's straight from the big book, page 187. Are there any announcements? Heidi?
Can you hear me now?
We can. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. And I did want to announce that the Saturday morning Circle Pines meeting is looking at doing a Zoom meeting as well. While they are not able to meet face to face. I don't have the full details on that, but if you know people there, you can check that out. Thanks.
Thanks, Heidi. Any other announcements?
This is Sharon.
Sharon.
We had a group conscious meeting right before this meeting, and we are looking for people that would be willing to be intergroup reps. We have one that's we're a part of two intergroups. We're part of the Minnesota intergroup called Unity, and if you are part of this meeting and would like to be willing to be our representative at that meeting, there is a dial-in phone number. We also are in need of a representative that would be a part of the virtual intergroup, and that both of these meet on the third weekend. The intergroup meets on Saturday morning at 12:30. Is it 12:30 Central or 12 Central? And the virtual intergroup meeting is at 3:45 on Sunday, and the Saturday is the day for the intergroup. So is there anyone who could, if you're interested, please put your name in the chat and we'll get back to you. And if you have any questions, we can answer those too.
Thanks, Sharon. Any other announcements?
Say, Peg, it's Howard.
Yes.
During our group conscious, we did vote to start the meeting 1 hour early, 6 p.m. Central Time, starting on April 7th, first Tuesday of April.
Okay. I'm assuming everyone heard that. Starting the first Tuesday of April, the meeting will start at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Mountain. All right. Any other announcements? All right. Literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. That's www, this is all one word, oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at the bookstore at oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HAL meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HAL program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. All right, do we have anyone getting medallions tonight? Michelle.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Hello, hi. Michelle, I've got 2 months of abstinence tonight. So.
All right, Michelle, yay!
Yay.
Congratulations, you go, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you. Those are big 2 months. Okay, anyone else?
Hi, this is Kelly, and I had my year on February 27th, but I haven't been on a meeting with you guys since then. But this is my home meeting, so I just want to say thanks, guys.
Happy anniversary!
Yay, Kelly!
All right, Kelly!
Awesome, Kelly!
You go, girl!
Hey, who else we have here? Else? No other hand. Okay, my name's Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater celebrating 9 months as of March 3rd.
Yay, Peg.
Yay,
Peg. All right, Peg.
Okay. Way to go, Peg.
Yay, Peg.
All right. All right, I'm seeing other names pop, but not for medallions, I take it. Okay. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who's completed the first 3 steps of the program and is now ready to become a sponsor. At HAL meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Are there any step-ups? And I know there are none scheduled tonight. Was someone expecting one? No. All right. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. Are there any anniversaries tonight? But we're celebrating with Kelly for her 1 year. So congratulations. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step-ups or anniversaries via the link on the website. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Howard, I think I should cut it, don't you, a little bit?
34. How about seven?
Seven. That's a number of fullness. I'd be glad to do that. My name's Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here tonight. Grateful for this meeting. I am so sorry I don't have my pictures. I searched for them. I think they're on 6 computers ago for sure, but I just couldn't get down to the 6th computer. I will retrieve them. They're floating out there somewhere in a meeting that I think I left them at the last time I spoke. But what I'd like to open with is this. Most of us have been unwilling to admit that we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from other fellows. Therefore, it's not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. Well, here's my miracle. So I was at death's door knocking when I came to OA Hall in 2004. I was 320 pounds. I was suicidally depressed. I was eating out of control. I wouldn't go to bed at night. I'd only pray that I wouldn't wake up in the morning. And I would fall asleep by stuffing myself with the same binge foods over and over and over again. And I walked into the rooms of Howe, and somehow, for that night, had enough willingness to ask for a sponsor and tell her that I'd call her the next day. That was March 1st of 2004. The food came down and 160 pounds dropped from my body like a stone. I was normally weighted for the first time in my life within 23 months of the program, and I was on fire. OA had saved my life, and I could do nothing but say that to everyone willing to listen. I had no needs for personal anonymity. The minute someone said to me, "How did you do this?" my immediate answer was, "I'm an OA how." And when people would say, "You know, doesn't it seem like what you're doing is a little extreme?" I would say, "Oh yeah, it's extreme." But so was walking into a restaurant and ordering chicken Alfredo and seeing the people around me look and say, "Is that woman really gonna let herself eat that?" Yep, didn't bother me. So I was willing to go to any extreme to feed whatever emotion I was trying to push down that day. And now all of a sudden, all that happened by the miracle, a miracle, is that I said, I can put the food down. I can do it. I can do it a day at a time. And I did it a day at a time, day in and day out. And a daily reading and writing assignment, day in and day out. And 3 telephone calls a day, day in and day out. The first 5 years of the program, I went to 2 meetings a week, week in and week out. I did service. You name it, I was willing to do it. I was willing to lead intergroup. I was willing to run a convention. I was willing to do anything until I wasn't. And that's what's really scary in retrospect. Until I wasn't, because somehow I got it into my head that I had this program down to some kind of a science. And the real reason I let myself believe that I had it down was because the compulsion to overeat had totally, totally left my world. And what I was left with was a series of complaints about how inconvenient it was, how artificial it felt to have to go to a guest's home, to be a guest in someone's home and tell them that I couldn't have what they were serving. It wasn't embarrassment. It wasn't that I just got tired of it. And the very first thing I got tired of was the reading and writing assignment. And so when I made the decision after coming home from Europe in 2016 that I had done just fine in Europe for a month without having to do a lot of, without having the level of structure that we easily have in the States, I thought, I've got this. And you know what? I sort of did. But the first thing that left was the reading and writing assignment. And as soon as that reading and writing assignment went, so did my serenity. And that's what I didn't recognize. My food plan was relatively fine. And in fact, it wasn't until the following summer I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. It was stage one. I didn't know it at the time, but it was stage one. It was great to find out that that was the case. But somehow that gave me a permission to be a little more liberal, like have popcorn at the Lynx game. Well, I should have noticed the first time I had two popcorns at the Lynx game that I might be in trouble. But in my morning reading assignment, this is what I read this morning out of the big book. I have several academic degrees, and someone as smart as I was could solve this problem. The idea was to put off the first drink as long as possible and go to bed after the last drink. That worked out okay. And I told the counselor I was able to keep it to five drinks a day with little or no problem. But she said, if you have to control something, it was out of control. And I look back at that relapse period and I think exactly that. I kept saying that I had it under control. Somehow, I had let myself, mostly because I let go of that reading and writing assignment, start believing that I was the one who had done this. And somehow, every one of you in this room tonight, the 55 of you, the hundreds of people in Minnesota, who stood by me day and night, year after year, in those first 12 and a half years, you hadn't done it. God hadn't done it. No, I had done it. The shift got made because I walked away from the literature. I forgot who I was. And so, of course, the idea that somehow, someday, she will control and enjoy her eating came back to me with a fierceness that just is so painful. Whoops, and that was 7 minutes already. I am so glad to be back, and I'm so glad to be in this room. Thank you all for listening. All right, and now we will hear from our speaker tonight, and that is, did you say it was Kari?
Kari, yeah.
Kari, all right. It is Kari. Okay, hi, Kari, welcome.
All right, I gotta hide my video, because otherwise I'll be staring at it. So bear with me just a second. Okay, I'm gonna just, sorry about that. My name is Kari, and I am a compulsive overeater from Minnesota. If there's a food disorder or compulsive overeating or undereating out there, I have dabbled in them all. I am well-rounded compulsive overeater. First, I just want to thank those people doing service on the line. Tonight, we've got Howard on dashboard and Peg as helping out as the moderator, and then Margo for timer. So thank you for doing that. We're supposed to talk about where we started at and where we, how we got into how, and then what our life is like now. And I feel like a salesperson because it works. And so I grew up on a farm close to the North Dakota border, and it should have been a good experience growing up on the farm. And there was a lot of good that I did get to experience. But we also had, our family also had its problems, as every family has. My mom, she was a good mom, but then when my brother died, I had a brother who died when he was 18 and I was 12, she got depressed. And basically what happened is, and I think this happens a lot, is that we take on our parents' stuff. So when she got depressed, I took on her depression. So I remember probably around 12 is the first time I struggled with depression. And I think that's right about the age that you see those pictures. What happened with me is I gained and lost the same 20 pounds about 10 times over. So I've lost 200 pounds 10 times in a row. And you can see my pictures, whenever things got stressful, whenever things went crazy, I would just gain the weight and then lose the weight and then gain the weight and then lose the weight. So my dad and my brother, what happened is the boys would go out to the shop and work in the shop. And what happened is in the shop is my dad would abuse my older brother who died, and my younger brother would watch this. And so you learn what you see. And basically when my older brother died, then they go to the least common denominator in the family, the weakest one. And I was the youngest one, so therefore I was the one that was chosen. So my brother took on what my dad was doing. My dad then chose me as the one, the weakest one to abuse. My mom got sick as I also think happens with a lot of people is when they are so depressed and they don't manage their depression, then basically they get a chronic illness. And this is kind of a generalization from me, so it's not always the case. But so my mom, she got Parkinson's disease. And with that, our family was torn into. Because I grew up on the farm, the money was tied up in the farmland, and my dad didn't want to sell the farmland to take care of my mom because it was inheritance, and it was his livelihood. It was like my brother was the fourth generation to take on that farm, and so that's what he wanted. My dad's whole lifelong goal was to pass the farm on to my brother. So when my mom got sick, she had Parkinson's disease, which typically ends up where you have to go to a nursing home for some amount of time. And my mom always took care of everything. She did the socialization for our whole family. She cooked like crazy. She worked super hard. And when she got sick, my dad, who was always reliant on her taking care of him, he basically didn't want to take care of her. So going back to the farmland, what they did was they transferred all the farmland into my brother's name. And then when my mom was 60, she went crazy. And so then my dad put her in a nursing home at the age of 60. And she was in a locked Alzheimer's ward. So she wasn't in like where she could go in and out. She was like locked in there, and it was 2 hours away from home. And it was awful, because he didn't want to take care of her. And this goes back to me starting to resent people and starting to build those resentments up and starting to isolate. This is a progressive disease, so it didn't happen all at once. It started maybe when in my later 20s and then progressively got worse. So after my mom had been in the nursing home for 5 years, what happened, it was past the statute of limitations for transferring the land to my brother. So my dad divorced my mom, and my brother then promptly put my mom on welfare. And she died penniless on welfare. So long story short, I didn't agree with that whole process that went on. So I became estranged from my family. And up until a couple weeks ago, I hadn't talked to my sister for like 15 years. I hadn't talked to my dad for 4 years, and I hadn't talked to my brother for 6 years. I did actually talk to my dad. I left a message for my brother and my sister, and haven't talked to them. But anyway, I have a note, like my notes here, so I'm reading them. Stuff happens, right? So here's things that happened to me. We were in a dream house. My husband and I were in a dream house, and something happened where I thought he was having an affair. So I had the choice of keeping the dream house or going crazy. I thought it was going crazy because I thought he was having an affair with somebody. And then during that time, we were in this dream house, which was 14-acre farmhouse in St. Joseph, Minnesota, right on the creek. Beautiful. I could have horses. I had chickens. I had cats. I grew up on a farm, right? So that's kind of what I wanted. So we sold that dream house. My mom died. My dog died. I was, like I said, estranged from my family. And this progressive illness of isolation, I had very few friends. I moved to a new city, got a new job. And just recently, just last year, I got divorced. And so September, I came into this group. And the couple first meetings that I went to, I was like, what in the world is going on? This is like 2 hours. Why would people go to a 2-hour 12-step meeting? They're supposed to be an hour. And then I thought, when I went to the meetings, one thing I realized is that these OA How people, they still have the same stress that have happened. They have that list of crap that happens. But when I hear them talk, they are a little more sane. They might still have the crazy that's happening, but they seem to handle it better. And I went to a few meetings, but I didn't want to take responsibility until I was divorced. I was at my lowest level. And that picture when I was riding a horse, I was basically in what should have been probably one of the best times of my life. I was riding this beautiful horse with my friends. That was my lowest time in my life. I had a choice as I was walking. I live in downtown Minneapolis, so I was walking across the bridge in downtown Minneapolis, a stone arch. And I, in my head, I said, I have 3 choices. I can throw myself over the bridge, but then I think, well, somebody would have to find my body and that would be kind of gross. I could commit myself to a mental institution, but I don't know if my insurance would pay for it. And so I was like rationalizing what I would do. And then I thought, oh, wait, these crazy How people, they still look a little bit more sane. And they seem to have a little bit more ability to handle life. And so I decided that going to How would still disrupt my life, but disrupt it less than jumping off a bridge or going into a mental institution. So crazy. Yep. That's so true. And then I kept having thoughts when I first started the program, I'm like, who cares about the stupid string bean? That was one of my thoughts. And calling people, I texted people, I didn't call because I was a huge isolator. And the 70 questions kind of reminded me of, if you're in a sorority or a fraternity, it's like hazing. If you can get through those 70 questions, you can get through a lot of things in life. Also, weighing and measuring. They talk about the rice and how the rice is on the outside of the cup. And who cares about the rice on the outside of the cup? But the more I got into the program, the more I realized there's a method to the madness. And the good thing about the program is that the method to the madness is that our food, the way we handle food to a normal person is crazy. Nobody would do that. But then I would any day, any time of my life, take my food crazy over the crazy that I had before I was in the program. Hands down, any day. And people talked about, when I came into the program too, they said, we just don't care what other people think. And now I get it. Like, I've gone to these nice banquets and I've taken out my my scale and I've just basically told the people around me what I'm doing, and they don't really care either. It's just more my ego that thinks my ego is going to be damaged about taking out my scale when I'm in a restaurant or something like that. Okay. I had a lot of defiance and I never realized how much I lied until I came into this program. And I am grateful for my sponsor because she's been a huge help to me. She helps go through my ups and downs, and I still have them. Like this, probably about a week or so, the food cravings, they still come. So about a week ago, I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I think this is crazy. And I don't know if it was a full moon or what was happening, but it seemed like there was other people that were having the same situation. But fortunately, we have those phone calls, which I hated in the beginning. I hated them. But now I love them and I look forward to them. And the people I call are my friends. And I needed a built-in community because I was estranged from my family and I had very few friends. So this community gives you that built-in community, and it gives you a sense of people actually caring people actually seeing me and people actually hearing me. And I think really in life, that's what it's all about. Being seen and heard are two very important things that help with people's well-being. Let me see. So day by day, minute by minute, yesterday was crazy. I worked probably about 10 hours. I had to go to a doctor appointment for about 2 hours. And then I talked to six people on the phone. And then I had to do my reading and writing. So it gets to be, there gets to be long days. And I don't know how people do it with kids, or I have no idea how everybody else does it. I feel like I can barely fit things into my life. But I have realized that this program is the most important. So if I'm trying to figure out what I should do first, this program always comes first for me, because it is what helps me be able to go to work. It's what helps me work through my ego problems with work. It helps me go to my coworkers and say, you know what, you're driving me crazy, but I want to be of service to you. I don't actually tell them they're driving me crazy, but I do tell them that I'm there to be of service. And right now my job is maybe not the best job in the world. It's maybe not something that I want to stick with long term, but that doesn't mean that I have to make my coworker's life miserable just because I don't like the job. And that whole mental change has happened because of OEHOW, because of letting things up to higher power, just basically letting it go and not holding onto those resentments. And I am also grateful for my sponsor for listening to those resentments, because I just think, how awful is that? I don't even want to write them down, let alone tell them to somebody, because it's just painful. Okay, let me see here. I still struggle with relationships with higher power. I grew up in a church, and so I grew up in a very religious school. I went to a Christian school in college. And so the whole God will thing, just, it still drives me batty. But I have to find something that works for me. And right now what's working for me is making the higher power the group, because the people in this group can do amazing things. And together we can do amazing things. Together we can save people. We can save that person who is throwing up after every meal. We can save that person who just ate the M&M bags or the bag of chips, because that person was me, and they're out there. And a lot of people don't want to take responsibility, and I didn't really want to take responsibility for a long time. I'm going to read something here. I don't know how many minutes. Margo, how many minutes do I have left? I feel like I've been talking for 2 hours. 4 minutes, okay. All right. So right now I'm going through step 4, and I still am a baby in the program too. I have so much to learn. And the more I'm in the program, the more I realize that I have a lot to learn. Okay, so paragraph 2 says, yet these instincts, so necessary for our existence, far often exceed their proper functions. Powerfully, blindly, many times subtly, they drive us, dominate us, and insist upon ruling our lives. Our desire for sex, for material, for emotional security, and for an important place in society often tyrannize us. And that's the way it was in my family. We were always in competition with each other. We always wanted to one-up each other. We didn't get along with each other because we just wanted to be better. We always wanted to be better, bigger, do something more. When thus out of joint, man's natural desires cause them great trouble, practically all the trouble there is. No human being, however good, is exempt from these troubles. Nearly every serious emotional problem can be seen as a case of misdirected instinct. When that turn happens, our great natural assets, the instincts have turned into physical and mental liabilities. And basically my mental liability is ego and having an important place in society. That is where a lot of my problems came from. And the program has helped me keep my ego in check. And I wanted to come in this program to grow up, to learn how to be an adult. And I think that's this program is teaching me the things that I never learned when I grew up. And I'm grateful for everybody's service. Without you, without the people on this phone call, this never could happen. And with all this insane that is happening right now, I think we're the most fortunate group in the world because we get to talk to four, if not more, people every day. And these people are our comrades. These people are our fellows. They are here for us and we are here for them. I love them and they love me. And it's just, I'm so grateful for the program because without this program, I would not be here. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. All right. My apologies. Wonderful job. My apologies. I skipped a page and I just want to make sure that we do this because it is so important to us. The Minnesota OA Howl live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending the meeting for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press *6 on your telephone's keypad so that we can welcome you. And I know I saw someone in the chat line, so. Anybody? Anybody new with us for the first time? Okay, there she comes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. I don't look very well. Hi, I'm Emily.
Hi, Emily. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Hi, Emily.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hey.
And then one other. May we please have a treasurer's report, Heidi?
Hi there. I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater and your treasurer for this meeting. I wanted to share that our current balance is $1,029, of which we need to keep a $500 minimum. I also wanted to just quickly explain a few things about what our expenses are and what some of our revenue has been. Our rent for the month is $25 a week at the church and $25 a month for the Wi-Fi. So it's anywhere from $125 to $150 a month. We pay $16.11 a month for our Zoom subscription. And even though it's called free conference calling, we pay $3 a month for that. And then we pay all of our PayPal fees, which anytime somebody contributes to our PayPal account, there is a 30-cent fee per transaction plus 2.9% of the amount you donate goes back to PayPal. And as an example, so that's anywhere from $144 to $170 a month plus our PayPal fees. And in January, we took in $75 as a group. In February, I made this announcement and we got a lot of donations, which was very nice. And in January, we paid $4.50 in fees to PayPal of the $75. In February, we took in $343 and paid almost $16 in fees. And then this month in March so far, we brought in $100. Of which we will pay $4.75 in fees on that. So I just wanted to give a little bit of an explanation as to where our money goes and what comes in. And if you do want to donate, I know Peg is going to tell you about a link here shortly. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to minhowlive.org to donate. And when you go to minhowlive.org to donate, you'll have some donating options. So please feel free to read them and follow accordingly. All right, that takes care of that. We now have time for a 1 minute pitch. Would someone care to pitch? I know it's tough to limit that to a minute, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. With that, then, I will start our closing. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all of those who participated, especially our speaker, Carrie, who offered so much of herself. Thanks, Carrie. Woo!
Yeah, thanks.
We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. So thanks.
Yep. Good job.
Yep. All right. And may we please have the reading of just for today.
Hi. Thank you, Carrie, and thank you, Peg. I'd really, really like to dedicate this to all of us who have to stay 6 feet away from one another and do all this stuff from home. And I myself am really glad to be here tonight. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows about it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do, just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me.
Thanks, Bridget. Our closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to, please join in saying the Serenity Prayer. Those of you who are virtual, which is everyone tonight, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God,
God, grant me the
serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will.
Keep coming back. It works if you work. It's so worth it. You're worth it.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Peg, for leading.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Margo, for being the timer. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Night, Alyssa.
Night, thanks.
Night Peg.
Good night. Good night all.
Night Mike.
Hi Howard.
Night.
See you, Mike. Thanks Peg.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks Howard. Your great guidance. All right.